Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Direi Yomim Beis Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st chapter of the second book of Direi Yomim. The topic of our Perek is the Mishmaras, the divisions of the Kohanim and Levim serving the Beis HaMikdash, and it is 21 psukim long. The parallel parasha is not to be found in Tanakh, this only appears here in Direi HaYomim. In the first pasuk, we hear about the removal of Avodah Zarah from Yehuda. So we're told that after this very beautiful ceremony of the Korban Pesach, all of Israel go back to their cities in the areas of Yehuda and in the areas of Binyamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and destroy all shrines of Avodah Zarah as they return home. So it's been obviously a very uplifting spiritual experience, and they take it seriously. It actually has an impact on their day-to-day lives. They go and they change the way that it works. You see from Yasser's Lamabim that there is a cooperation with the government in the north under the auspices of Hoshea ben Elah, the last king of Israel. Unfortunately, it seems like it is a little bit too late on the whole, because the kingdom in the north is about to be exiled in just a few short years. We now move into the next section, where from Psukim Beis to Yotes, we hear about Chizkiel re-establishing the machlakos, or the mishmaros, of the Kohanim and the Levim serving the Beis HaMikdash. So a few very fascinating points. Let's go through it step by step. So we're told that he sets up all the 24 divisions, everyone according to their role. So whether it be the Levim, who are the gatekeepers or the singers in the Kohanim, or bringing the Avodah, each one of them is given their role and their time as to when they need to come in for their 2 weeks of their involvement in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically on service, and then obviously the Yomim Tovim. We're told that Umenas HaMelech Min Ruchushai, and it's from the king's portion, from his own inheritance or his own possessions, Lo'olos HaBoiker Va'erev, for the daily sacrifices, and for Shabbos, and for Rosh Chodesh, and the festivals. What does this mean? So the Mitzvotos and the Da'at Mikra understand this to mean that, yes, actually the king, it was the king's responsibility from his coffer to pay for the daily sacrifices. That was his responsibility. The Malbim explains, just to deepen this, that his responsibility was to collect the necessary money for this and to allocate it for the Karbonos. So that's the way it was set up. And this is actually the way it's talked about in the future, when as Yechezkel talks about in the future, about this Nasi, this leader, who's responsible for the allocation of funds for the Karbonos as well. Next, we hear about how he encourages to the inhabitants of Jerusalem to give Menas HaKohanim VaLevim, the portions of the Kohanim and the Levim to them, as is written in the Torah of Hashem. And as this matter, Kifrot Sadavar, has become very large, Bnei Yisrael brought all these grains and oils and fruit to the Kohanim, and there's a great description of all the different piles that they put together. What are the Menas of the Kohanim? So this refers to what's called Matnos Kohuna, the gifts of the given to the Kohanim. And what that means to say is that there's certain 24 different types of Matnos Kohuna. So Truma, Maaser, Bikurim, Bechor, all these different things are elements which are actually given to the Kohanim themselves, and that is what they live off as they do their Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Chizkiyahu is essentially re-establishing the system in order that they are able to be able to sustain themselves. Rashi makes a very beautiful comment saying that in the times of the desert, the Torah was given to the Oichle Haman, those who lived off the divine bread in heaven from the manna. And after they left the desert, and they no longer got the manna from heaven, the Torah is learned by those who are oichle truma, those who eat the truma, which means to say that for a person to be able to really study Torah at the great level of depth and to be the role model of Torah, it's supposed to be that one is supposed to be, it has to be that that person is sustained and is not worrying about parnasa concerns, because it's impossible to have it when one's always under that pressure. That's what is being established over here. What does it mean that the matter is exploded by Yifrot or Kifrot Sadavar? So the Malbim explains that as the Kohanim, the Shevet Kohana, grew, and now the needs of these Matnos Kohana grew, the people were ever so gracious and continued to give not just what they were expected to give as the first of their fruits, the first of their animals and their crops, but actually much more as well, as is being described over here, in order to support the Kohanim. So this is a very beautiful act on the side of the people. And we're told that in the third month of the year, so that's around the month of Sivan, that's when the pile started to become established. And in the seventh month, that's Tishrei, that's when it was finished. That's the agricultural cycle in the land of Israel. And Chizkiyahu came and he saw all of these piles, these large piles of grain brought as their gifts for the Kohanim and the Levim, and he blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the nation of Israel. And then he asked them, what about these piles? And Azariyahu HaKohen explained that there was just so much. There was Ochol V'Savar V'Hoser. They ate, they were satiated, and there was more. So just a few details over here. What's this bracha about? The Ralbag explains, he is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it was a generous year of crops. But he's also thanking the people that they were generous of spirit enough to give to the people, to give to HaKadosh, to the Kohanim in an overabundance. In, the Malbim explains that when it says that he was Doresh, he searched out, he tried to work this out, what, all these piles, it was because he was concerned. He saw all these extra piles and he thought that maybe this shows that our Kohanim weren't in attendance. Maybe they were absent without leave. And that's why their piles weren't collected. So the Kohanim, Azariyahu, the Kohen explains, no, that's not the case. Everybody served, but there was just so much because of the way that, as the Chida explains, even what they got was so satiating that they just ate a little bit and were satiated. So both in quality and quantity, everything was blessed. It's a very beautiful description. And then we hear about how he set up special rooms in the Beis HaMikdash, Lashakos, which are going to be areas where the food of the Kohanim and the Levim and the gifts is going to stay while they're collecting. And then we hear a very complicated description of all the representatives who are going to be the distributors of the Matnas Kohuna in the Beis HaMikdash, and those who would go to the individual cities and villages where the Kohanim and Levim would live in order that they get their produce and their gifts. Just to summarize, because the Pesukim are somewhat complicated in this area, it seems that if a man who was a Levi or Kohen came into the Beis HaMikdash and he was doing his Avoida, he received his Matnas Kohuna then. And if he had any children who are from the age of 3 to 20, they were seen as dependents and they would be part of what he would get. But if he had children who are over the age of 20 and were already of service age themselves, then they would get as independent units, not as dependents. And then there's a whole description about how these representatives would go from village to village distributing to those Kohanim and Levim who lived there based on their dependents, their wives, their children, their families, and how much they needed in their individual villages as well. And it's fascinating to read this into the Pesukim. One of the most beautiful things in these Pesukim is reading the end of the section where it describes how they would go to the individual villages, and the reason they would give it to all of them is ki be'emunasam yiskadashu kodesh, because in their faith, in their faithfulness, they were sanctifying the holiness. What this means, says the Malbim, is that it wasn't just about the way that they served in the Beis HaMikdash for that minuscule amount of time per year, really, relatively speaking, but it was about the way they lived with faith as role models to the society of Israel, which is why they're being supported as well. Every society needs role models. Every society needs teachers. And it's fascinating that although in today's society, which is governed by entertainment and convenience, and therefore at the top of the totem pole are those who are the greatest entertainers and sportsmen, they are not necessarily the role models of what our society needs to have. The teachers and the role models, those who learn the spiritual ideas and laws, should be the role models and should be supported as such, which is what Chizkiyahu HaMelech is doing over here. Finally, we have the last two psukim of the parak, which are very beautiful psukim, describing how he does so much good, tov, yashar, emes, in front of Hashem. And, uchol ma'aseh, sherechel, ba'avodah, speis elokim, va'torah, va'mitzvah, lidrosh le'lokah, b'chol levavoy, asov, etzlech. Everything he began, he carried on doing to succeed in the eyes of with his full heart. The Chida points out that sometimes when we serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we start off very enthused about something, but as time goes on, it becomes more difficult for us. So ultimately, this is important to realize that Yechizkiyahu was able to follow through. He was able to start enthused and end enthused and ultimately succeed in everything he did. What a very beautiful description of the spiritual policies that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was able to establish. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.